every review that I have read, of which there are zillions, has you pegged as a glam band that is also politically involved, a la The Clash. Tell me the truth. Each of you is really a clone of Mark Bolan and Mick Jones, and yet none of you, you know, look like them. Is that what the deal is here?
Jordan is the snappiest dresser, so perhaps he's the Mark Bolan.
Thank God this is radio.
Nice. Yeah.
The other reviewers have gone out of their way to define their band by its past. Shudder to Think, Guided by Voices. And so everybody's taking the easy way out here, are they not? Aren't they just taking what's been served and not really? Do you think they've actually sat and listened to this record?
No, but I don't know that reviewers do that anymore, too.
In your blog for October, there's a manifesto which I will recite a little bit of. It's easy to get focused on this business of being a regular old rock and roll band. Hey, sure, it's fun, but hang on, we want to get back to base and reflect on why we started this thing in the first place. We advocate the right of the people to do whatever the you-know-what they want. We'll get there in a few minutes. Whenever they want, with whoever they please, so long as they do not cause hurt or harm. We assert the people's right to rock and rock hard. We suggest people not sit on their asses, but hey, do what you like. I can't read.
Do it.
We advocate the use of bullet points when making didactic lists such as this.
That sounds like
intelligence. So let's get into what this band is. Intelligence and humor goes a long way. This is not a dumbed down band.
No. I would say we have an agenda of some kind. I'm just trying to figure out what it is, and I don't know if you guys could. Maybe you can enlighten
me. Somebody look under the control board, see if it's hidden. We'll find it.
Yeah.
Well, you have a pretty clear idea, I think, but sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. Like the other night.
He will by the end of this interview.
No, actually, it's good to have to articulate things because it's easy to sit. I probably wrote that at 3 o'clock in the morning and sitting in my underwear in my apartment.
Thank you for sharing.
There's the glam that you're looking for.
Yeah. I don't think
they were leopards.
Probably something else that rhymes
skin
with glam, but I'm not sure what it is.
They were sequined.
Lame.
there's
gold
your glam.
Lame, yeah.
Bring it on.
Is a bit of glam and there's some punk.
I mean,
I'm trying to get these guys to where you just coined a new term.
Glunk.
Right now,
glam,
right?
Glunk. Punk.
It's glunk. Like crunk.
Trying to get glunk these guys to wear some eyelashes and stuff, but
I want to figure out a way to
offer to loan them yours.
I've never said no.
I've never said no either. I'm just trying to figure out how to wear makeup as a man with a beard.
Well, lipstick is not the way for you.
And not have it be a 90s.
See, I start a tone in these interviews, and I really should just shoot myself because I know historically, I'm just gonna take you there whether you like it or not.
Please.
Here, historically, one of the best ways to get a political message out is with good songs.
Yeah.
And that's what you've done here.
Yeah.
And I actually, before I came here, after listening to this multiple times, then opened up this flap.
Right.
And read. Opened up this flap.
Yeah. Spare no expense.
As opposed to this flack.
Right.
And read the lyrics that I was listening to. Because it's so easy, as we know in rock and roll, not to listen to the lyrics.
Right.
Especially when the rock and roll is served up melodically and slickly and all of that goop.
Right.
But, you know, you've done the classic trick here. When you open up the flap.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And you start reading it.
Yeah.
It ain't pretty.
No.
It's not pretty. This
pretty
is not
ugly.
This is not happy go lucky I love you poetry we've got here.
No.
As Nathan said in rehearsals, we don't want any songs about feelings.
So no.
It's awesome.
That was one of
one
the,
way or the other.
One of the stipulations.
Yeah.
Oh, I think there's one that snuck in. That said,
actually there's quite a few. Actually they all have quite
that
a bit
said,
of feeling.
I need a full edit of almost all the songs for radio airplay.
I know.
Let's start at the beginning with the one that all the journalists talk about. Has the Pope heard that first track yet? And
you know,
what does he think?
No, we were just talking today. I mean, this will be more of an issue in Portland, but you know, you heard about this this morning, the settlement of this case against the Archdiocese of Portland. It was like 150 cases of sexual misconduct.
Nice.
Against the this, I don't know if it was a group of priests or if it was one particular guy. See, to me, like, getting involved with the Catholic Church in any area is sort of like opening up a chain of what Arby's or whatever that was. You know what I'm saying? you don't want to.
Yeah.
Some of these are always surprising to me, and this one's going some interesting little.
So, but anyway, they just recently settled that accord, and I don't know, it was 150 cases that were in the pipeline in federal and in state court. And
ouch.
it's really hard to know. No, we've sent obviously with stuff like when you've got song titles like F Finn,
yes,
and you've got lyrics like we do. I did the thing where I sent it out to lots of Catholic groups and lots of right wing groups and lots of churches and this.
Really?
Sort of thing. Yeah, but of course they're not going to get past the moment they sort of see that it's a. I try to be really sincere and try to trick them into at least listening for the first
once they
5 open
seconds
up that
it's a happy it's right. a happy tune.
But I mean they're not gonna I don't
no
have any
response.
Illusions that they're gonna ever even come in contact with this material, much less be somehow take it to heart or be affected by it.
I'm not into comparisons, but Sexy Soldier, easy for
Sexy
me to
Soldier.
Say, all those years of elocution, yeah. Sexy Soldier takes Gang of Four to the next phase, to say the least.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. That's very nice to hear.
But I mean, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I come from personally, my history. I come from the DC punk rock scene and the Fugazi guys, Minor Threat, and Gang of Four was a big. Thing for the Discord, a lot of those bands.
Doesn't it freak you out that some of the strangest punk rock came out of weird, Washington D.C., which
it was pretty backwater.
It's kind of an interesting place for that to occur, and happen.
Yeah,
kind of right under people's noses, so to speak.
Yeah, and I remember we used to be able to set up right across from the White House and have a show
because you have the right to
say whatever we want with huge speakers broadcasting straight into the this was in the era of Bush 1 and Reagan and
Bush 1
now
sounds like a movie, doesn't
get,
it
does
now on your screen
sounds like a bad
Bush
movie.
1
yeah. Two thumbs down
two
thumbs down
I think it's more like 10 thumbs down.
Let's just hope there's no Bush 3. That's all I'm hoping.
God.
Okay, but then in the middle of that, and this is me, right? I of course tracked the record really fast, and the track that I've played more than any, forgive me, is You Got the Joy, because it's a real rave up. It is something that could have been done by T-Rex or even by The Sweet or by any of these.
The Sweet. Oh, I like that. Okay.
But it could have been.
Yeah.
It totally could have been.
Thank
and it's so lethal trick to get people into the record.
No, but it kind of wound
up. I don't mean
that
in a bad way. I think it's a good thing
to
do.
It could be used in that. I mean, if we had access to sort of greater channels of distribution, I think it certainly could be used that way.
Well, I mean, seriously, it could be played as pop next to so many other things.
Yeah, it's one of the only songs where we don't use a swear word.
There is a swear word in it.
No, there
it
is.
The very end, but I beeped it. I have
because I played it off here originally, and I come in here and I just literally.
Yeah, you got to pull the fader down.
Yeah,
but
they did give me a CD with some edits. Unfortunately, I didn't pop that CD, and I popped this one in.
Oh, okay.
And there I was.
I did those edits. I did those edits at my house. On my laptop.
You did,
and I just
how many
little,
were on there? I didn't
I
even notice because we need more.
Okay.
The whole
I downloaded app. I did a Google search for censored beep and came up with all these different
cool
beeps. And you just download them and then I just stuck it on top of the. But it was like some of the songs were just, it was like a hip hop video where you get about 30% of the lyrics.
Right.
And you have
this is the virtual equivalent of that.
I don't know why that it went down like that.
Everybody's pretty much making Do the Coup d'Etat your theme song. Why do you think that is?
Catchy.
It's catchy and it's a
think half the audience can pronounce it. Hey, you like that song, Do the Coup d'Etat?
Coup d'Etat.
You like the d'Etats? I love that d'Etat song.
A little bit of French there, the Canadian
coming
through.
I think that's nice also because that's one that we all wrote together. And that was sort of we came up with that in rehearsal, right?
And we drop it down to a C, which most bands might be afraid to do.
Which is the equivalent of your strings are very floppy. It's a lovely song. And maybe an issue that people feel a little more comfortable with. I won't say that they're looking at the lyrics, but if they were, they're probably more comfortable with that issue than they are, say, than Get Your Priest On, which is a little bit, I think,
yeah,
tougher.
Duh.
To,
thanks
yeah.
for that.
Yeah. So
that's
it's something that they can grasp.
Right,
and also, Che Guevara has become, there's a t-shirt. He's the t-shirt and he's the brand and he's the,
Although a lot of people wear that T-shirt and don't know
have any idea
his
who he
story,
is.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame, but I suppose we're sort of capitalizing on that to a degree. Isn't that sort of the idea?
Not enough. Yeah, we're not capitalizing enough.
Yeah.
A silence over time. I love that moment of just sheer
dead air.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know people in radio like that.
I was just going for powerful silence.
I might try to do that more in this interview.
Actually, if we can figure out how to harness that kind of ignorance, then we'd really have a powerful marketing tool in our hands. We'd be huge.
Powerful marketing tool.
Yeah.
Yes, the PMT. That's what you need.
The tie-in with the like St. Mark's Street, like Che Guevara t-shirts, and you don't know what you're buying. It just looks like a guy with a beard, and it's cool, and you've seen your friends, you know, wear it.
Look, the Gap sells rock and roll t-shirts, so who are we to, you know? They're like the big purveyors now of rock and roll t-shirts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Go get your AC/DC t-shirt at the Gap because you're so into them. Exactly. It makes a lot of, makes a lot of sense
I
to
saw,
me.
I saw
and
an
Target.
Ad today.
Yeah, Target, yeah, too. Yeah. Target's huge, that. Right.
That's really right. Sad.
Hey, Maude, you know what I got the other day? I got one of these Motels t-shirts.
Right.
Yeah. It's a Holiday Inn.
Remember, do you remember the motels? You don't?
I think it was one of the Holiday Inns, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I like them a lot.
The motels. Just any motel.
Of all the choices to record, did like Williamsburg give you the right vibe or the right budget?
Budget. And vibe. But, what would you say?
I think both.
Yeah, totally both. It just happens to be where we practice as well.
Oh, so is that where your practice space is?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In the nice part, or have you found a non-gentrified part?
No, in the it's kind of the nice part, but it's sort of in the the far
far reaches of the nice part.
It's not quite the nice part.
But you went considerably farther afield to mix. So were you just looking to get some good fish and chips, or?
Oh no, that was just because I was stuck in. I was working on a movie and I was in London for 4 months, and we had to finish it. So I just did it there.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there.
Okay.
We're working our way through.
Okay.
The record came out in Canada before the U.S. Did you not think we were ready for it yet, or was that due to the?
No, that was just a snafu.
Yeah, I wouldn't. We wouldn't. Do that again.
We're just disorganized. we're doing this ourselves, so we don't really know, you know.
Was there a label deal when you recorded this record?
No, there were people sniffing around, but no, there wasn't.
So you
and we
just
didn't we didn't really, you know,
very
we didn't
brave when
it
you
out.
Think about it, because you didn't, this is not a sign get signed by, it is a get signed by the label record depending on how you look at it, but in some ways it's,
see, I never thought it was because of the content.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And because how extremely fearful major labels are, and I thought that, in fact, this is the first thing I've been involved with where I feel like it's really just been like, let the, not to sound like a hippie, but not like, let the music guide what it is, and we can say whatever we want because there's not someone looking over our shoulder. So
right.
Paris Hilton is one of your best friends on MySpace, along with the MC5 and Black Flag. Has she come to any of your shows?
She in spirit, she's always wherever I am, and so are the MC5. And I don't see any contradiction. And pop culture that contains nothing, and pop culture that contains something.
Right.
I'm not saying. The MC5 contains nothing. I'm saying that Paris Hilton contains.
Are you saying that Paris Hilton contains something?
Yes. I am.
Wow, that's a brave statement.
You got it.
What does she contain?
She's
certainly not herself.
She's necessary. she's extremely necessary. I was in Japan.
We all need something, I guess, to grasp onto to be annoyed about.
I find it right, and it's not even annoying because it's just she's so nothing. She's got just it's just so absolutely. It's like the absence of something. And so, therefore, is, in essence, something.
We've just given her way too much airtime.
Yeah.
You realize that.
No, but that's...
Like negative airtime would be...
She's something to people who aren't paying attention.
Right.
That's a big part of society.
That's a great line. Something to people that are not paying attention.
Right.
And you can just finish that sentence with, to...
Fill in the blank.
No, she's one of these, just another thing. Where it's like, look over here. This is going on. Paris, with the sex videotape. And then everybody's like, what? And then there's all these atrocities happening over on the other side of the, you know, so that's why I love Paris.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Did you play South by Southwest last year?
Hell no.
Will you be playing this year?
Hell no.
Really?
Yeah. Only because I don't like it.
No.
Interesting.
But we
just because it's gotten too whatever you want to call it, too commercial?
No, not at all. It's just sort of inconvenient. It's hard to get around the town and
we're at a stage in our careers where we just won't do certain things.
We don't have to, which is really nice because we're sort of paying for everything ourselves. So it's sort of like if we don't want to do that. It also implies showcasing,
and we're never really showcasing for anyone.
No, because we have nothing to showcase. Because we're not trying to sell anything necessarily. Yeah.
I really feel like this band really just plays to
nobody.
Well, no, we're not playing to anyone in the industry. That's for sure. No. I don't think so.
They're welcome to come.
They're welcome to express their level of interest.
And they have on occasion.
Are you taking a break from film scoring to give full dedication to this band, or is this kind of like more like, is this a band? Is it a collective? Is it all those other terms that everybody loves to use?
I don't know. We'll see in the next several months what happens. But it's a band. This is a full time band. On the other hand, Em is doing her own lovely work.
Yes, and I'm going there. I'm getting there.
And lovely. Jordan is also doing his own work.
Lovely.
And I've got I need to keep doing the film stuff in order to generate. Cash so as to keep this thing going.
But you're not Danny Elfman. There's no discernible style between Boys Don't Cry, Velvet Goldmine, or the music you've done for my buddy Todd Solondz.
Right.
I'm sorry to say you have no style.
No, that's...
But that's been
But that's, of course, I think that's a compliment because the role of a film composer, I think, is to be very transparent.
In addition to this band... No, so I moved on really fast.
Yeah.
I see you will be playing Toronto with Andy Kim, whose music I heard tons of in the 70s since, as I mentioned, my mom is from Montreal. And I'm actually nervy enough that on a Friday night I will play Rock Me Gently. I do. Not parts one and two, but I have been known to delve that deep into the bubble and into the gum. Are you a big fan of his? I had no idea he was staging a comeback.
Yeah.
See, this is what happens when you really do research. You're like,
right.
And then, of course, I'm going to the Andy Kim site and thinking, do I want to have him on the show? Let's talk about your projects and how you got involved in all of this and Andy Kim and the Canadian rock and roll scene in general.
And actually, Jordan can probably fill you in more about the scene in Toronto better than I can. But, I mean... People like Andy Kim, there's this resurgence of, you know, older musicians who don't have homes on major labels and are making comebacks, and he's Canadian, so he's found his way into the Canadian scene.
And there's still CanCon, there's still Canadian content requirements, so you can really kind of...
Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely guy, he's really supportive. We don't agree on politics, we don't discuss it, but it's... It's interesting to me that, you know, you can disagree, but then you can coexist, which I think would be the ultimate, you know, thing. But anyway, I met Nathan through doing my own album, and he produced half of it, and we wrote some songs together for it. And, we met because we were mismanaged by the same manager.
True.
And the best thing to come out of it was me meeting Nathan. And
that's very kind.
Oh.
What's the name of the record, and where can you buy it?
It's called The Summer of High Hopes. Yeah. It's stunning. And you can buy it on iTunes.
And Bono Vox, no less,
Bono
of
Vox,
U2,
yeah.
has proclaimed one of the songs to be hit, one of its top five?
Ten? One of six songs he wishes he had written.
The last thing we do
is
we call it a musical sandwich. And here's what it is. It's two of your songs, as in Hot Ones songs, as the bread.
Right.
And then other songs by other bands in between that you are each going to choose.
Well, since we're in San Francisco, I'm going to throw this one. So let's say you got the joy, Don't Stop Believin', because we're in San Francisco.
Oh, no, the other bread. You forgot the other piece of bread.
No, I'm kind of getting to the bread.
That was the pastrami.
He can go in any order he wants to go.
And then If God Were on My Side. Those were sort of random.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You're going in. Okay, people do it different ways. So just pile
in. Went right for like this.
I was picturing a sandwich, literally.
Okay. Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
You can attack.
Yeah.
And
Michael McDonald.
No, that's Well, okay.
You can do any. Believe me, there is nothing I have not played together on this show.
Really?
Nothing I have not played together on this show.
Taking it to the streets by the Doobie Brothers.
Yeah. Dun,
absolutely.
Dun, dun. Yeah. I used to have to play that on radio.
Bit of our theme song.
Late 70s. Yeah. I had to play that on the radio.
Had to.
Yeah.
Well, it was on the playlist at the time.
We,
it was
we've,
no choice.
We've opted to.
Yeah,
in the band.
We made a choice. Yeah. In the band.
We've made decisions. Dun, dun. Yeah. More than once, we've made a decision to play it and listen to it intently and only listen to it and sing along.
I'll leave it alone. Keep going.
Jordash.
I'm going to say Sound and Vision by David Bowie.
Okay, I need more. I need,
more. You need more.
We got to fill up the...
Can I fill in one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Stan Bush's You Got the Touch.
Oh, nice.
A la Boogie Nights. I'm referencing the Transformers film.
You Got the Touch! You got the power.
That's all I'm gonna.
Thanks for that. That was special. Yeah. You had another special moment.
The limiters weren't maxing there. Something by Prince.
I think
Raspberry Beret for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And what's that record I always put on whenever I'm DJing and I have to go to the bathroom? There's like an 8-minute version of it.
You DJ?
Well, if I'm doing something live.
Really?
Yeah. We're learning about each
other.
Thank
you
for
connecting.
This is my job. The connector.
Is it Erotica? What's that song called? It was a B-side on one of the 1999. I would want to hear it all the time.
Oh, Erotic City?
Erotic City.
Erotic City. Okay, save us with a couple of good songs. No, just kidding.
Okay. I mean, I fought the law. Yeah. I think obviously either the Bobby Fuller version.
Unfortunate Son by,
do you want Bobby Fuller or you want The Clash?
Either Bobby Fuller or The Clash. Either one. Let's go with Bobby Fuller because let's represent for the original. And then I would say, Fortunate Son, Creedence, which still makes a lot of sense if you listen to it.
I'm going to say Animal by Def Leppard.
Oh, yes. Because Def Leppard really truly believed at the time that they were furthering the glam rock.
Yeah, and they have roots in it that people don't understand.
They do. Or that people. She happens to be a personal friend of Joe Elliott's. Actually, this is true. And... is known to cover Pour Some Sugar on Me in her live show. True.
You don't have to bring down the entire interview.
I want silence.
Thanks, guys. Perfect ending. Okay.